The question is now, Chris Watkins, why can't we see this every night?
It's a great question. Unfortunately, I don't have the title of Sacramento Kings insider, so I would love to give you the answer. I just don't have it. You're going to have to ask our guys, Brendan and Frankie, because they probably have the answer. I wish I knew how to solve the Kings' inconsistency. A lot of people have said effort is a problem. A lot of people just said general shot making is a problem. Mm-hmm. It's probably some happy combination of both, but, I don't have a good answer to why we can't see this every night. But boy, oh boy, if we could just see it tonight, maybe, there's a little hope that we can start to turn this thing around, because we've said it since the start of this month. This has got a lot of opportunity for the Kings to build a nice little cushion here in the Western Conference, if there even is such a thing in the West this season. But just a little bit of consistency would go a really long way at this point in the season. So hopefully they can find it tonight, and it won't take Herculean effort. That's the thing.
Against
the San Antonio Spurs, you don't have to be on your A game, but can you be on your B game? Can you be on your B plus game? And if you are, that you should be able to take care of business tonight, no problem. Because even though Wemby was terrible offensively, just in terms of his shot selection last time these two teams played, his big impact is defensively. He makes you think a lot. And if he's not out there, what do the Spurs really have to even really think about when it comes to stopping you from doing what you want?
916-339-1140. 1 o'clock, we will give away tickets to see Chris Brown at the Golden 1 Center this summer. At 1 o'clock, Nate Littlefield will pick the number July 30th. For more information, visit SactownSports.com. 916-339-1140. Question is, you back on the hopium? Let's go around the room. Chris Watkins, are you back on the hopium?
No, I can't. Not yet.
Nate, are you back on the hopium?
Man, I don't know, to be honest, if I was ever really on it.
And, yeah, that's a good call.
And now we got the back-to-back. Mm-hmm. You just know as a Kings fan. I mean, you should know. I guess you get delusional after last year, and you kind of forget. You forget your roots, but... like, it just happened with the Bulls. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Plain and simple, and you shouldn't be. And I'm glad we had a caller earlier call and nitpick problems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one thing everyone calls in and we're all stoked and happy, but you gotta, it's not just being negative. It's looking at your issues. It's being realistic. It's looking at your issues. And being like, okay, so that was great. They've been beating the Lakers. They've got the Lakers' number. They did what they had to do against the, 9 seed or the 10 seed, whatever they're at. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool, man. LeBron left early. Like, just chill. Let's get going. I really don't want to see them in the play-in.
To be honest, I mean, based on the calls that we've had and just the texts that we've read and even the SAC chat, I don't think anybody's on the hopium. I think it's just too soon after what we saw earlier this week against Chicago, right? And I think some people might be more optimistic. I'll tell you this much. I don't even think I'd be on the hopium after tonight if they get a win.
No way. No,
check back next week.
It's just the Spurs. Yeah. Just the Spurs.
This is what you're supposed
to
do.
Beat the Spurs.
I'm not going to be on hope. The hopium is, wow, you can actually take care of business.
Right? Yeah.
But as far as making some noise and being a threat, I'm not on that. And go on a three game run, beating teams that you're supposed to beat, and still I shouldn't be on it after that. But just based on what we've seen, you beat the Lakers, you beat the Spurs, and you beat the Rockets.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's where I'm at. I just feel like, you know, you have some easy games in front of you. The Bucks is going to be a tough matchup for sure, but you have Spurs, Rockets, Bucks, Lakers. Check with me after that Laker game. I mean, to me, the Kings showed last night, the Lakers shouldn't be a problem. There's just no way that, you know, I'm not saying that, that game shouldn't be close at all, but, you know, the Kings should be able to take care of. They're a better team than the Lakers. They'll be at home. Take care of business for the next week, and, you know, and then maybe we can have a conversation.
Yeah, I'm good after these next two games. I know the Bucks. By the way, talk about miss of the year. I was way off with this Giannis thing. I didn't think he was going to be playing for the next week or so based on just what I saw.
Oh, right.
And
yeah.
I'm Mr. Achilles man extraordinaire. He played last night.
There were a lot of accusations that I saw after that video came out.
Mm-hmm.
People said, oh, I just looked at who the Bucks play next. And, you know, I think that a lot of people are out here throwing conspiracies, much like what we talked about with Joel Embiid earlier this year. The Bucks had the Warriors last night, and I just think Giannis has always, you know, there's always been rumors about the Warriors and Giannis's interest, and essentially people saying that Giannis wanted to make sure he was going to be there against the Warriors.
Interesting.
Yeah. Not necessarily
different than an Embiid
thing.
Yeah,
not really the Embiid thing quite, but just
unless you think the Warriors are trash,
which I don't think so. And
yeah,
if he did,
they don't think that anymore.
Yeah, they got pieced up last night, but. Just essentially that Giannis might be, yeah, I guess not really the Embiid thing, but more so that Giannis might be targeting specific games to play.
Because, I mean, it's an Achilles, right? Yeah. You don't mess with that. I know Anthony Davis has dealt with that for a while now, but I was just basing it on the video.
Yeah. No, I mean, in the video
he
looked
dropped
terrible.
The ball it and had to terrible. Get out of there.
Magical healing powers, I guess. Maybe JR was right, you know?
Maybe.
He's enhancements these
freak.
Days.
Well, yeah, and we'll get into pocket watching around 11:30, so we will break all that down. But he should have sat. And he probably didn't know if he played the fourth.
Didn't help.
So after that, yeah, they go to L.A. That's when we'll see. Yeah, if you're disrespectful, you probably sit against L.A. and sit against the Clippers and then play against the Kings.
Please
that
don't.
Would be the disrespectful route for the Bucks to take, and you know, obviously the games were on at the same time, so I'm assuming everything went fine for Giannis. We'll continue to monitor that situation. We got a while for that, but yeah, I was way off on that whole situation, but Davion Mitchell was way on last night. Last 15 games, he had shot, what is that?
He shot 51%.
51% on about 2 3-point attempts. The last 10 games, he's shooting 61.9% from three on 2.1 attempts, 13 for 21. And he's not any more open than he was in the last 15 games, or honestly all season. It's just between the ears, man. I think it's between the ears.
Yeah, I mean, he's put in a lot of work, I will say, on his three-point shot. Like, I mean, all offseason long, it's what he worked on. It's what he's worked on the past two off seasons. So I do think that there's a little bit of he has actually put in the work to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think that it is just something that we're going to have to monitor because, you know, it might just be a hot shooting streak. It's also kind of on low volume, only taking two a game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you got to take baby steps, and him hitting 50% on two threes is great. If he can hit 40% on three threes, that's even better. And it's just about getting his confidence up. Like, I think Davion is capable of being a decent shooter. I mean, he really just needs to get to the level that we see guys like Patrick Beverley at, mm-hmm. where you just need to be able to hit an occasional corner three to stay on the floor. And I just hope that it's a step in the right direction for Davion. I hope it's not just a blip. We've seen him go through these during preseason. I think either this year or last year, he was really, really hot from three, and it's just never really translated to the regular season. So, you know, if Davion can become a 36, 37% three-point shooter,
mm-hmm.
that's how he's going to stay in the league, not just on this team, but around the league in general. It's how he's going to get maybe another shot with a different team after Sacramento, because – I think that, you know, it's clear that the Kings have struggled to find a solidified role for Davion. And I think, you know, the best way of staying relevant in this league is ability to hit threes. So at the very least, it's just good to see for Davion's development. I don't really think it's going to last much longer, but it's just good to see him knocking it down in general.
Just last through the spring and the summer. That's all you need.
That's right.
Yep. That's all you need. Keon Ellis also hit a three. He had one steal and 5 points. He was 1 for 2 from three. He was 2 for 4 from the field. Davion only took threes last night, and he was 4 for 4. He had one assist, one rebound as well. On the Sack Chat, Curtis Hicks, I am a hopium addict. I hear you, Curtis, but it's tough. It's tough when we've seen what the Kings have done in situations where they got to take care of business. But I think a lot of people will be on the train with you if the Kings go on to take care of business tonight, because as much as we're saying, hey, you should do this and you should do that, they have not done it as much as you would have liked them to do it. When we return, we hear from Mike Brown, who praises someone last night, and who he praises first, I guarantee, will surprise you. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Coach Mike Brown was very excited last night, and there was one person on his mind that he had to shout out in his post-game presser. The first person, this is who he was on his mind, and I can guarantee this is not who you think.
That was a good win by our guys. Bless you. Good win by our guys on the road, especially, you know, with those guys jumping out the way they did to start the game. Our guys stayed composed. They just kind of stayed with it. They didn't panic. I thought JaVale McGee was huge. His veteran leadership on the bench, the way he was talking to our guys when we were down big, the way he talked to them throughout the course of the game, just great words, timely words, and reassuring words for all of our guys and even for our staff.
There it is. This is the second time now. He's talked about JaVale's leadership the second time in a week.
Do you guys
week span?
That's, do you guys ahead. Feel like he does this a lot? Do you feel like he points out guys who maybe didn't play much or do much, and then he's
keep
like
engaged?
Exactly, because I feel like this is a recurring thing.
I don't think you need to keep JaVale engaged though.
It's not. It's more of just being like, hey man, we appreciate you're here, even though you're not on the court. I don't know. Like, sometimes he'll give defensive player of the game to somebody who you're like, oh, okay.
They've done that before a lot, and that definitely is what you're hitting. Like, that's more so what you're hinting at from my perspective. I think the only other time I can think of where Mike Brown has done this in a press conference is with Mason Jones, and that makes sense. I mean, Mason Jones is like a two-way guy who probably isn't going to get any minutes at all, and so you're trying to show, hey, we see you, we see your value, and we understand what you're bringing to the floor, even though you're not out there. But to Allen's play, JaVale McGee has played this season. He's a 36-year-old man. He's a veteran in this league. I don't really think you need to keep JaVale engaged at this point. Like, it's just crazy to me that De'Aaron scores 44 points, ties his career high. Malik has 26 points. It's a plus 19. Sabonis has 16, 20, and 12.
Did it bother you?
I mean, not like actually in the sense, it's just, it honestly was really funny to me. And I know people say that when they're really actually triggered, but
it feels
it was
like you're triggered.
Actually really funny to me that Mike Brown is just like, yeah, like I know a lot of people did some crazy things statistically tonight, but let me shout out the one guy who literally just stayed on the bench the entire game.
Ryan Williams' art is saying it's a little league of him.
A little bit. Like, you know, again, JaVale's a professional guy. He's, again, been in the league a long time. Don't really think you need to scratch his back like that. Like, I think, you know, it's especially just, and I don't think it was Mike Brown's intention. I don't think he went out there and said, oh, you know what? I really need to make sure JaVale knows how much he was appreciated. I think it just so happened to be in this order. But
those were the first words out of his mouth.
First, those, yes, what we played, I mean, he says Gesundheit to that reporter.
Yes,
those were, that is how Mike Brown did his opening, those are his opening statements right there, is we played great tonight, terrific, shout out JaVale. I just think that's, if anything, at the very least, I just think it shows us, as if there was any question, Mike Brown loves JaVale McGee.
That's right.
And
it probably pains him that JaVale is basically unplayable. Now you got me thinking here.
It's just funny to me.
But
it's
now really you do funny. Have me thinking, and I don't know how often, when you look at these pressers, I don't know how often the players are firing these things
they're
up.
Never,
I would assume that they're
never.
Not, right? So is this to placate to the media, to the players? What I'm saying is to go out there and say, when we play like this, we can just kind of lay it out there, right? That's not really who Coach Mike Brown is. The same way there are different types of leaders on the team. There are different types of coaches.
Right.
He's not the guy that's going to sit down and say, this is what we need to do every game. We play like this, the sky's the limit.
Right.
Look at De'Aaron Fox. Y'all didn't want him in the All-Star game. Look at Sabonis.
Sure.
This is the top two duo in the league. Okay? He's just not that guy.
Headlines.
He's just not that guy.
Yeah.
He's going to talk about JaVale McGee.
I'm going to laugh at it every time.
He's going to talk about JaVale.
It's just crazy to me.
And it's not that it's probably not somewhat true.
No, it's probably guaranteed to be true.
Absolutely. We talked about the players only meeting and how, hey, we want to be scrappy. I think Davion spoke to the scrappiness, and we talked about it in the roundtable.
Yeah.
There was a sequence last night where there were just, I don't know if you've seen Snowfall, when Franklin just like,
have not.
Bodies on bodies and bodies. There were just bodies on the floor everywhere. Trey Lyles was on the ground. Everybody was on the ground, and I do think they are trying to not become blue collar, but just say, nobody's above anybody. We got to get this done. And I will say this. I did notice while they were down, JaVale is at the front of the bench.
Yeah.
It was basically every other guy. And in between them was a dude sitting who was actually playing, right? Mm-hmm. So it was JaVale and then a dude that was in the rotation. JaVale, dude in the rotation. Mason Jones, dude in the rotation. Chris Duarte, who's basically in the rotation. And then there was one more guy who was in it as well, and they were all standing, hey, let's go.
Yeah.
And it does feel like they're trying to have more of that personality, that bench mob, and that camaraderie that you may not have seen this season. That's why I got the shout-out.
Yeah, no, and I will say, too, JaVale is the kind of guy who this team plays cool. Like, you know, they let a lot of things roll off their back, never too high, never too low. I will say JaVale definitely has the personality of a guy who says, nah, like, F that. Like, we need to be more upset right now. We need to be hyping ourselves up right now, because that's what's required in this game. And I'm not saying JaVale's veteran leadership isn't needed. I'm not saying it's what everything Mike Brown said isn't true. I think that this is where JaVale's value is, frankly. This is why I was so surprised that he got the playing time he got this year, because this is the role I expected him to play. I expected him to be that veteran leader who wasn't going to get a lot of minutes, but was going to teach these guys, hey, I've been on three different championship teams. Let me show you and tell you guys how this is going to go. He was essentially supposed to be the Udonis Haslam of this team. And I think it was, maybe you could say, Mike Brown, light years ahead. He was playing JaVale so that it wasn't just a, who's this pretty much a coach who's got a jersey on. He actually was contributing to the games. And like you said, I think, unfortunately, JaVale just couldn't really, is at the point in his career where he just can't really contribute at a high level anymore. But, I think that this was ideally what JaVale's role was supposed to be. And I guess better late than never. But I think it just, and I think he's been leading all season long, but it sounds like now he's really, really taking that and using that as his responsibility for this team, is to make sure y'all need to be locked in. And if it's going to take Trey Lyles, the seventh guy off the bench, or if it's going to take me, JaVale McGee, who's 11th, 10th, 12th guy off the bench, you guys are going to hear it. We're not just going to, you know, let this thing slide because you guys are quiet and cool. We are going to bring this thing to the front of mind. And, if that's the role he's going to play, I think it's needed. It's just, again, it comes to the question, which is maybe a larger scale question of, what does it mean if it's these guys on the bench and not the guys on the floor? But at this moment in time, I don't really think that matters. I think it's just important that anybody in general is stepping up.
Yeah, and as far as De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, don't get me wrong, he's definitely road for them in the past. And he said he's called De'Aaron Fox when De'Aaron Fox was at the MVP level. He's talked about it in his pregame and postgame pressers. When Sabonis is at that level, he'll talk about it. I'm sure he talked about it last night. So don't get me wrong. He definitely rides for his guys. He always has. But just in terms of, I'm going to make a headline. Besides the laptop thing, that's the last time he made a headline. The bottom line is, and the reason I think there can be a disconnect with fans and this team specifically is because this team is very even keeled.
Yeah.
And fans, short for fanatic, are the opposite of even keel, right? We'll see some even keel fans in the SAC chat and on the text line, or they'll call in. And most fans aren't going to be like that. It's a long season and everybody's going to fan differently. Some teams aren't even keeled. I would say the Lakers aren't. The Lakers actually are the worst at it. Yeah. They're front runners
way too low.
And D'Lo looked like he wanted to be anywhere else. We called it Ellis Island at first. We were trying to figure out a name for Keon Ellis because Keon came in and D'Lo looked like he wanted to be anywhere else in the world.
Yes.
He wanted to be, remember that movie Jumper? He wanted to jump to another galaxy, another area or part of the country or of the world when Keon came out. He wanted no parts.
Yeah.
He wanted no parts of it. So it was a team win from anybody that played or anybody that didn't play. And Coach Mike Brown wanted to make sure that he shouted them out. When we return, it's time. The Kings won. So you know what that means? It's time to pocket watch. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. PM, don't want to miss your chance to see Chris Brown at the Golden 1 Center on July 30th. 1 p.m., 916-339-1140. Nate will pick out the callers. So don't get mad at Chris or myself. Get mad at Nate.
That's right.
If you don't win. It is tough to get the timing right. I mean, Frankie threw out a 7.
I know.
Yesterday, so do you wait?
I think
just call and pray.
Yep. You just got to get in as quickly as you can because you never know. And, you know, Nate will tell you if you're early. I don't know if he does, actually. I shouldn't speak on Nate's part.
I think he just picks the winner.
I pick the winner and I drop everyone else.
That's probably the best.
But we did have a guy win, I think it was yesterday, the day before, that gave him to his wife. So shout out. That's like
nice. Cool,
there you go.
Nice husband move.
There you go. And you have your chance to earn some brownie points or go yourself.
Some Chris brownie points.
There you go. Nicely done. 1 p.m. For more information, visit SactownSports.com. Thanks to Live Nation. That is at 1 p.m. From the 916, this is an interesting one, guys. And this is not me, okay? This is from Nick from the 916. Don't get on me. This is not from me. Can the Kings get rid of the DPOG chain? A little childish, to be honest. These are grown men, dog.
Well, you got your wish. They don't have a chain anymore, and they have a crown.
It's a crown.
There you go. So you got your wish.
It's a crown.
A lot of teams do it. Like, it's just
The Nuggets do it, actually. Now that I think about it, the Nuggets
Cavs do it. The Raptors do it. I think every team does some variation of it, and it's just, you know, it's just a way of them having fun. You know, like this game is still at the end of the day meant to be fun, and it's a long season. It's something that they can, you know, all look forward to after the game. We've seen videos of when they crown the guys. You know, Malik will be like, it's me. Nah, it's me. Nah, 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 nah. Like, I don't want to hear it. It's me tonight. And I'll just go sit on the throne myself. Like, it's a way of them having fun in a season that can be really grueling and sometimes boring, sometimes thrilling. And it just adds to it all. It just adds to the camaraderie of it all. They get to take the picture after. Yeah, sure. It's a little childish, but they're playing a child's game. They are playing the game of basketball for millions of dollars, and that's it. That is their only responsibility. So, they're having fun.
I would see more people having problems or, I guess, issue with the the new craze in baseball. It's been going on for a couple of years now, to where after you hit a home run,
right,
they'll you
put a jacket, on
jacket
you,
or a
you get
crown,
the trident,
something
right?
like yeah. that, because that's mid game, yeah. right? This is at the end of the game. You've yeah. already won, so I don't really have a problem with it. I would be on, not that I have a problem with the baseball one. I would be more on. I would understand more the baseball one because the game is still going
sure,
on.
Yeah.
And it's funny, if you're down 7-1,
yeah, it's like,
you want this jacket? Yeah. It's like, do they not do it? Hey, we're going to throw sunflower seeds on. Do you right. do that when you're down 7-1? Right. It's a little bit different because the energy is different, yeah. but the game is over.
And they only do it after wins. Like, it's not like
very similar. Yeah. And we'll take it to football, the turnover chain.
Exactly.
The game's not over yet. Right. So I could see, hey, cool, you got a turnover, it's me, and right. the game is not over. You might need to make another play, and
sure.
you're feeling yourself too much.
Right.
The game's not over. In
I
this
like the turnover chain, too.
And I like
it.
Yeah,
I
love it
awesome.
All. I love
yeah.
it all. You can bat flip,
true,
turnover
yeah.
chain. But I could see that, to me, makes
more
sense
right.
than once the game is over yeah. to just, hey, this is a thing that we do. And I don't know if Denver was doing it last season, but they won a championship. If so, they won a championship doing it.
That's right. Yeah. No, I don't have any problem with it at all. Like I said, I think it's all fun. And I think, it's just these guys need some childish behavior. And, you know, yeah, like what's are we going to say, you know, oh, I don't like it when they all pile on each other in the post-game interviews
when they're
all yelling.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's like, you know. What,
honestly, though, we do have.
Let them have fun.
So I'll just give. My dad is one of these guys that he just, I don't know how to explain it, but he doesn't really he understands it, but for some reason it bothers him when football players specifically, but he'll do it in any sport. He hates the celebrations.
Okay.
He hates the celebration.
Touchdown celebration,
yeah,
bat flip.
His
whole
thing is
pointing to the veins, all
look,
that.
Ow, look at the game, man. They're down by 15 points, and they're dancing in the end zone. Or if they're not losing, ow, look what he's doing, and the game's not over yet, right? He hates it.
Yeah.
He hates it, so I get it. But in this situation, the game is over. Then he would say, ow, they're the seventh seed,
yeah,
and they got a
what
crown
on. What are they
on.
Celebrating about?
They got a crown on there in the seventh seed, Al. Come on. So I get it, and it actually tickles
it
me.
It is
kind
of funny.
Yeah. yeah but in game, it is funny when you know, who is it? Back in the day, you're doing the salsa or whatever.
Right.
Or OBJ is doing the moonwalk.
Right. He's like,
and
I've coordinated this dance.
And I'm doing
for
it
two
either way.
Weeks, okay.
Yeah,
yeah. I was supposed to do this 3 weeks ago, and I haven't scored since.
Right.
I'm sorry. I don't care if we're down 15. I'm getting this salsa dance
the
on.
Dolphins are doing the row the boat, right? They're all on the ground. They're down 15 points. It's a little bit ridiculous. But in this situation, the game is over. All right. It's time to do some pocket watching.
That's right.
And once again, the Pacers are just inviting every Western Conference team to their place. Now, to start this pocket watch, this is something, and we feel really bad for this guy. Obviously, we joke about the voice and everything like that, and we're not the only people that do. I'm sure he's used to it. I actually saw a video of him joking about it, Karl-Anthony Towns. Torn meniscus, he is out indefinitely, and that shakes up a lot of things in the Western Conference because it affects where you want to land. Now, right as of right now, the Nuggets are behind the Thunder and the T-Wolves by one game. And we have mentioned that sixth seed, although it might be cool to it's awesome to not be in the play-in, you don't want to deal with the Nuggets. So at this point, I would say, Chris, that Kings fans, number one, you got to take care of your own business.
Yeah.
But if you are eyeing that sixth seed, not that the five seed is completely gone, but it's going to be tough. More than likely, you get that sixth seed because of what the Suns have coming up. And the Suns, I believe, host the Rockets tonight.
Right.
But you get that sixth seed, and you're rooting essentially for the Nuggets because if the Thunder or the T-Wolves fall into the three seed now with no Karl-Anthony Towns, we'd assume, with the torn meniscus, and the Thunder, who just haven't had as much experience in the playoffs, now that sixth seed looks a lot more desirable
than it
did yesterday.
It sure does, yeah. And, you know, it's weird because the Kings did – the only time they lost to Minnesota this season was when Karl-Anthony Towns was out. And so, you know, there's maybe the sense that, you know, like I talk about Dane Moore saying that in a weird way, Cat being out is actually good for Minnesota because it makes them play a little faster. But of course, like you want a talent like Cat out there, especially down the stretch. It was already, we talked about teams that only have one or two playmakers. Cat was this team's second playmaker, and that was pretty they were pretty hesitant to even go there, and so now it's all on Anthony Edwards down the stretch. They don't have anybody else that they really trust with the ball in their hands. It's going to make them a lot weaker of an opponent, and already, like you said, like there was already not fraudulent questions, but you know, teams lining up to say, okay, Minnesota, OKC are probably the teams that we would like to play. The Kings, yeah, hopefully they can sneak into that sixth seed. I think Minnesota is definitely going to drop. I would say that the three seed is at the very least where they'll fall. Who knows? They might even fall all the way to the four seed with this because the Clippers are only 2.5 games back. And I know they've kind of been floundering a bit here recently.
Well,
but
you don't want the six seed again.
Yeah, and then, exactly. And so it kind of, again, it becomes a weird thing where, you know, yes, we're going to pocket watch every day, but at the end of the day, and this is common sense, but you just want to take care of business as much as you can and just win as many games as you can and just deal, let the dominoes fall where they may after, because just with how tight everything is, you really can't position yourself for anything. So I think you got to focus on yourself. You got to just try and figure out how you can be peaking at the right time. And honestly, it's great. We can talk about wanting to play OKC in Minnesota, but if you want to win a championship, if you want to reach the Western Finals, you're going to have to beat them all anyway. So, you know, at the end of the day, the Kings need to find themselves.
Could be a good day for the Kings as we go around the rest of the Western Conference. Like we mentioned, the T-Wolves have the Pacers. The Heat got to head to Dallas. That will not be easy for the Mavericks. Get a little bit of a break if you're a Suns fan. They host the Raptors, who I don't recall the Raptors being terrible after the trade, but they're not good. They are not good at all.
Nope.
So
they've not figured it out. That's
if they figure it out in Club Phoenix tonight and the Kings win, the Kings would be back in the sixth seed.
Yeah.
But if they both win, then the Kings would still be back a half game.
Yep.
The Nuggets host the Celtics, and I think that's going to be a really good game.
Be a great
excited
one.
To watch that. And the Bulls, after beating the Kings, head to the Bay to take on the Warriors. I would say, I mean, the Warriors really handled the Bucks last night, and I was very surprised at that. After doing that, you would think the Bulls wouldn't be an issue, but there's a reason when, you know, people say, hey, you're here for a reason, right? The Warriors are in the nine seed for a reason.
Yes, absolutely.
And they're trying to convince everybody that they've got it turned around, and maybe they have. And you know, Kuminga doing his thing, Moody doing his thing. Your boy Trayce Jackson-Davis,
dude, he went crazy yesterday.
They're calling him the Giannis stopper. They are calling him. They were literally doing. I saw a picture last night when you have the little kid.
Yeah.
So they put Trayce Jackson's face on the dad, and they put Giannis as the baby, and he was holding his hands up like you would do as the baby starts to try to learn how to
park,
like I do
or
with my kid, like I do with my kid, because he was the Giannis stopper. I don't know how healthy Giannis was. Like you said, maybe Giannis wanted to make it a point to play out there, but they're trying to convince us that they could do some things. And we'll see. Hopefully Coby White pretends like he's still in Sacramento, and same with DeMar DeRozan, and they can just keep the Warriors at bay a little bit. The Lakers are not in action, but I would be surprised if the Suns lose to the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a surprise, and you brought this to my attention actually before the show, and I'm looking at it now, and it's even more true than what I think you might have realized. You told me, man, the Raptors are doing the Kings no favors.
None. They
whatsoever.
Can't beat anybody.
Listen to this. This is since the turn of the new year, since January 1st. These are some of the losses that the Raptors have and how little they have helped the Kings so far. I will say they helped the Kings a little in the fact that the Kings beat them on January 5th. Mm-hmm. However, after that, they did beat the Warriors on January 7th, so thank you there. They lose to the Lakers on January 9th, lose to the Clippers on January 10th, lose to the Clippers again on January 26th. They lose to OKC on February 4th, lose to the Pelicans on February 5th. They lose to, here recently, they lost to the Mavericks on February 28th, just lost to the Warriors on March 1st, and then on Tuesday, they lost to the Pelicans on March 5th. So these guys have just continually lost to opponents that are right in the Kings' little range here. And I'm just hoping that when the Kings play them on March 20th.
I don't even say it.
They
don't,
better
don't
they better not do what I think we all are expecting.
Just
them to
don't
do.
Just don't
Please
even
don't.
Say it.
Please don't.
When we return, we continue the conversation, pocket watching. And there was a guy last night who didn't even get 20 minutes, but he started. How does that happen? We'll tell you who, we'll tell you why. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Great win for the Kings, but it was not a great game for everyone involved. Once again, the same conversation that we've had, and a little bit different. I mean, one of the guys was 5 for 7 for field goals, only had 15 minutes, though. The other guy, 12 minutes, 3 shots, -5 if you're into that. And honestly was a decent part of the reason the Kings got off to that slow start. Kevin Huerter, unfortunately, was getting hunted early and often. Then the Kings had to go into a zone, and that wasn't working early because the Lakers were hitting. I'll just give you the 4, Chris. I mean, 12 minutes for Kevin Huerter, 0 for 2 from 3.
It's tough, man. Yeah, and looking at the defensive metrics from last night, Kevin Huerter in those 11 minutes, you want to talk about getting attacked. He allowed 16 points, 6 of 8 from the field, the Lakers were, when attacking Kevin Huerter, 75% from the field. And that was only in 12 minutes. So clearly their plan of action was just to attack. And for those of you who have been looking out for it, it's been happening more and more every single game, and it's been happening earlier and earlier in the game, if that's even possible. If you seriously look at the first 3 plays of the last 3 games, you will see that teams actively hunt and try and isolate Kevin Huerter on one side of the ball. The Lakers did it yesterday with Rui Hachimura. I believe the Bulls did it with DeMar, and I can't remember who Minnesota did it on, but they it's happened every single game these past 3 games, and I think it's something that teams are especially at this point in the year, it's what you got to do. You got to hunt guys. If Kevin Huerter is going to be out on the floor, you got to make him defend, and it's something that's going to be concerning come playoff time because it's only going to be worse in the playoffs. It's only going to happen with more frequency. And, you know, he's taken steps on the defensive end, you know, second on the team in deflections and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I mean, especially this comes down to it, Alan, and you've been the one to say it more than anybody else. I don't want to hear if he's not hitting shots. I don't want to hear anything about his defense because the reality is you can live with Kevin Huerter getting hunted if he's hitting 2 or 3 threes in a half, you know, because he's giving you momentum. And even if point wise, he's only scoring 9, but giving up 15. You can live with it because of just the energy he provides, the gravity he provides. All that stuff is probably a net neutral or maybe even a net positive. But if he's not hitting shots like he's not, like he did last night, what was he 0 of 2 from 3 yesterday? He was 0 of 2 from 3, 1 of 3 from the field. He had 3 fouls in the 12 minutes he played. What is Mike Brown supposed to do? Like, what else is he supposed to do at that point? We know Malik's not getting inserted in the lineup. We can have that conversation if we want again, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere. It raises the question again of, you know, we see it right now. Chris Duarte yesterday gets a DNP. Uh-huh. Is it going to get to the point where, again, we see Kevin Huerter lose his starting spot, but maybe Chris Duarte gets inserted, and instead of Duarte or Davion getting those DNPs, do we maybe see a streak of like 3 to 5 games where, look, Kevin, we just got to look at what it looks like with anybody else out there. And maybe Kevin Huerter starts to get some DNPs here because, you know, crazy. The way he's played, it's it's crazy to think we've gotten to that point, mm-hmm. but with the way that he has played, it's not that crazy of a proposal because Duarte's played well and gotten treated that way. Davion has gone through stretches. Keon had that start, 7 assists, 4 steals, gets a DNP the next day. There are guys who are playing better or actively helping this team win more than Kevin Huerter on what has now been a nightly basis, and Kevin's getting the benefit of the doubt. And we know we can at least say HB is getting benefit of the doubt because it's either him or Trey Lyles. They don't really have any other guys to play at that position. Kevin's not in that spot. You can put Keon in there. You could put De'Aaron and Davion out there. You could put Duarte out there. Shoot, you could put Kessler Edwards if you're so inclined to put him out there. So Kevin shouldn't be getting that benefit of the doubt. And I think a caller mentioned it earlier, but how many times can this guy play 12 to 18 minutes and just be given the benefit of the doubt again the next game?
Right. What are you hoping to see
at
this point? And I guess you're just hoping to see him get hot, which he had a little stretch where he has shot the ball better, but I just don't know what you're expecting to see at this point. And the guard play, and you have to start thinking long term. You have to start thinking short term and long term. If you are going to make a move, you need to make it sooner than later. And if you're not going to make a move, then people get Brown out of town. People like that are going to say, why are you starting this dude just to sit him?
It's a fair question.
What are you hoping to see from him when you decide I'm going to start him even though he hasn't been playing well? And on top of that, everybody else besides De'Aaron and Sabonis and Keegan have a pretty – and Harrison Barnes have a short leash.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and again, the Harrison Barnes thing is because of a lack of depth. You have depth.
Exactly.
Why did you sign Duarte then?
Why did you bring Keon
on for change his two-way to put him on the team, right? No. Why did you do these things?
Absolutely. And yesterday on the post game, I kind of went through it. I think the weird thing is I had the wrong impression of how Kevin's Atlanta tenure went. My impression was he probably didn't start for a lot of his rookie year, but towards the end he kind of, you know, they realized, oh, we might have something here. My impression was after that, Kevin Huerter was the starter for Atlanta, and that just was. He was there too, and you know, maybe he got benched for a game or two or whatever, but he was the guy that they looked at. Looking at his numbers in Atlanta, first season, like I said, kind of did go how I expected. Played in 75 games, started 59 of them. Second season in the league, played in 56 games, started in 48. His third season in Atlanta, played in 69 games, started in 49. His last season in Atlanta, played in 74 games, started in 60. Last season, his first season with the Kings, played in 75, started 75. So I say all this to say, I think that the Kevin Huerter we saw last year probably, I don't want to say is the anomaly. I just think the reality of who Kevin Huerter is he's been this streaky guy for his entire career. And I think Atlanta got to the point where they saw plenty of signs that they really thought, look, this guy scored 12 points a game in his second year in the season. How about his third year? 11.9. The year after that, 12.1. They just never got over the hump with him. And I wonder if we might end up going through a similar cycle here in Sacramento where first season, again, 75 of 75. 75 games played, 75 games started. He averages 15 points a game. That's a career high. This season, 59 games started. He's already been benched for 5 games. He's down to 10.8 points, which is pretty much hovering around where he was his entire time in Atlanta. Maybe this truly is just who Kevin Huerter is. A bit of an up-and-down scorer who you see some things in there that convince you this guy's probably a starter for this team, but then he goes through streaks that almost force you to say, I think we have to try something else.
Just want to say, you got there. Welcome. Because I've been there.
Yeah, you have. No, you've been there.
I've been there. And I don't say that.
For a long time, is Kevin Huerter a starter on a championship team?
Yeah, and I don't say that to want to be right. I say that because I'm just watching.
Yeah.
I'm just watching.
Yep.
What is it that you do here?
It's the beauty of having clean eyes. Because yeah. I think we here in Sacramento, we're a bit distorted. We're like, we all year, I'm sure people told you, I'm sure I told you, no. Kevin last year, he did this. I promise
and
you.
And he did.
He went cold.
Yeah.
But then there's good coming.
Right.
And we just haven't seen that good. And you with fresh eyes, you said, I keep hearing that good's happening.
Yeah.
But from what I'm seeing, it's a lot of okay.
Yeah. And now defensively, it almost is as if the book is out. And when people say, oh,
the word is out.
The word is out.
Okay.
He will get Burgers. Cooked. He will get cooked like a burger. And earlier in the season, people start feeling things out, right? Now it comes to money time. And I feel like there is an unspoken, we can talk about this more. I feel like there is an unspoken rule as far as, I don't want to say embarrassing people, but utilizing sure. the, this guy can't do this. When you see the fouling and things like that, hey, this guy can't do this. It gets utilized more when it's money time. And now we're to the point now where, yeah, sorry, Kev, we're just going to have to keep going back. You ever play, you know, with your sister, whoever it is, when you're playing Tekken or Mortal Kombat, and there's just one move that they can't stop,
yes.
and you feel bad, and they say, hey, man, stop. And you say, okay, I won't do it. Right. But then when you're
when
getting close
tight,
to losing,
yeah, you're like, hold on.
I'm just going to keep doing it again. And that's basically where we're at. In the NBA season, it's like, hey, get your money up, not your funny up.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that,
yep.
we're gonna make it so you cannot play. And you're not hitting threes? Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry,
that's
buddy.
That's just how it is. When we return, we continue the conversation about the Kings and how they can avoid the letdown. We also discuss Harrison Barnes and more of your texts, more of your calls, more of your Sack Chat. Styles and Watkins, Sack Down Sports.